Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the 11th episode of the Podcast Dude. This is my show about podcasting. It's been an interesting morning so far. I just sent out a push notification with a bunch of markdown in it, so that was a total fail. That's how I do it. Iterate in public. But, okay, so this episode is three ways to create more audience engagement. And the subtitle is how to increase listener interaction with your podcast. So let me tell you the ideal situation. This is what we all hope for. You want to build an engaged audience, people who listen to your show every week. They send you email and feedback, and they give you ideas for topics, and they tell other people about your show. That sounds good, right? That's what we all want. You want people listening to your show. Of course you do. You wouldn't be podcasting if you didn't want people to listen to you. You'd be sitting on a couch somewhere talking to your Uncle Jim Bob. So, Robert asked earlier, because I asked the community chat, I said, hey, do you guys have any thoughts or questions about building audience engagement? He asked, how do you measure engagement in a meaningful way? I think you'll know it when you see it. If people reply to you, they're sending you emails, if they're responding to you on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, leaving you comments, that's engagement. It's not a set number of hits on your website or downloads for your podcast. It's just, are people responding to this thing I'm putting out there? So I think what you want to do first and foremost, you have to focus on building a community. And, just for the sake of being obvious, what is a community? A community is a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. So in this case, your community is going to come together around your show if you clearly define who your show is for. So you want to use language like this. This show is for people interested in making high-quality furniture. This show is for people who love the TV show Firefly. This show is for people who want to learn more about psychology. So you have to define very clearly to your audience what your show is about and who it's for. Well, Garrett says he loves the TV show Firefly. I know, I love it too. I'm sad it's gone. I think Ben's a big fan as well. But, so that's my point. You got to share your passion. Share your passion for the thing that you like. And you also need to share your values with your audience. Let them know what kind of people you want to be a part of your audience and what kind of people you don't. So I think the first and one of the biggest ways to create more engagement is to make them feel like a part of your show. And this isn't something every podcaster does, but I think it's one of the best ways to get your listeners to engage with your show. So there's a few ways you can do this. First, you can mention them by name in your podcast. So give them shout outs. You can also ask for questions. So ask them what they're struggling with. Ask them what they've been dealing with lately. Ask them what they're excited about. Talk about those things on the show. So listen to what they're saying. Take notes. And answer the questions for them if you can. And if you can't, thank them. Thank them for responding. But let them know that you're going to look into it and write up a solution. And you want to capture all that stuff. Write it down in your notebook, your OmniFocus, your to-do list. And then go out and create a blog post, a podcast, or a video about it and share it with them. You should also be asking them for their opinions. Now, you don't have to share every listener's opinion on your show, but I think you'll find that knowing what other people think about a topic will enrich the conversation and open your mind to new ideas. So talk about your audience members on the show. Make sure that the listeners that contribute value to the broader conversation get highlighted. Say nice things about them. If they are making cool things or writing blog posts that are somehow relevant to your show, then talk about those things and share links to those things in your show notes. Remember, it's about building community. And you do that by giving back to your audience and also introducing them to the other members in the audience. Another one that I see a few shows doing that I really like, read iTunes reviews. So if someone sends you a nice review, read it at the end of one of your episodes. Thank them personally. That will show them that you value them, but it also show the other listeners that you value and appreciate them for taking the time to listen. So something else you can do, I've seen some podcasters start doing this recently, create a Slack channel. If you've never heard of Slack, you need to get out from under your rock and go check it out. But Slack is a messaging app for Mac and iOS and Windows that was made, its original intended purposes was for teams to use to collaborate with, but it's kind of taken off as like a general purpose chat system. So you can set up a channel and anyone with an account on Slack can sign up for it. Or I don't even think you have to have an account. You just sign up with your email and you get this chat room. You can create rooms inside of the main room. There's a lot of really cool features. Slack's a really cool app. So check that out. I've seen recently the Changelog podcast, they started a Slack channel just to get all their audience together and talking and interacting. And the Path to Performance podcast as well. Winston brought up a great point. If you don't want to use Slack, then you can hire a developer, you know, pay him $50,000 and you build a custom chat application. More on that later. Ooh, another one that I really, really like for building more audience engagement is stream your podcast live. So streaming your podcast live is a great way to build audience engagement, although it is probably something you should do after you're comfortable with your mic setup and you've established the format for your show. So streaming live is probably not something you should do if you don't prepare a lot for your shows, because I think a good outline is really, really essential to have a good live stream. You should prepare an intro and an outro and really know what you're going to talk about in the middle. Because if your audience shows up, you want to make sure that you have some quality content ready for them, because they are not going to appreciate you showing up and stumbling through a poorly prepared episode. If you have a small audience, they will probably tolerate some technical difficulties on the first couple of streams, but you should really make an effort to make the stream as polished and professional as soon as you can. Consistency is really important here as well. You need to pick a time to stream and stick with it. So if you have a co-host or multiple co-hosts, you need to make sure that you agree to a time that you'll all be able to meet every week and make a commitment, because you're going to need to tell your audience when you're streaming, and they will plan to show up if you tell them a set time every week. But if you start changing that from week to week to week, eventually they're just going to stop paying attention, because it's really hard to kind of hit that moving target. Pick a time, stick to it. Now, depending on who your audience is, the right time to stream might be in the morning or in the evening. I know many people still work 9-to-5 jobs, although I think it's starting to be a little bit less common as more people are switching to remote jobs. But you can ask your audience about that or just choose whatever works for you. I think you should think about local time zones and where most of your audience is, if you can find that stuff out. And then you can kind of decide, you know, probably not a good idea to record super early in the morning or super late at night, maybe mid-morning or early evening. I think those are two pretty popular times to stream. All right, so how do you stream? How do you get that stream out there? I think the easiest way to stream live for you non-nerds is going to be Google Hangouts. You could also set up a page on your site with a player and a chat system, like the custom chat system I mentioned earlier, but that's going to take a little bit more time to set up correctly, and I'm not going to go into that here. But Google Hangouts, that's a pretty easy way to get started. You can do audio only or video. That's kind of up to you. I think if you're gonna do it, if people are gonna show up, then I think having even a decent webcam setup wouldn't be a bad idea. There's a couple of other options that I wanted to mention real quick. Nicecast, that's an app for Mac, I believe. I'm not sure if there's a Windows version, but that's what we use in the Sean West community. And our developer, Justin Michael, he wrote a custom chat app for the community that has the player embedded. So whenever I'm setting up for recording, I open up Logic, I set up my tracks, and then I start Nicecast. It pulls audio from Logic and broadcasts it out to the community. So another option, I found this the other day and I haven't got to test it yet, but it's getting some pretty good reviews. It's called Mixler. Mixlr. M-I-X-L-R. Another one of those kind of techie names, but they describe it as an easy to set up live streaming solution. It's got a cross-platform desktop applications. So it's free. You get a built-in chat room so you can have listeners engaging with you. I would check that out, Mixlr.com. A couple other things I want to mention. If you're going to stream live, I really strongly recommend you get good gear and have a really quiet room to record in. So make sure you don't have a lot of background noise or that's going to get picked up. Also, if you don't have a microphone yet, I would invest in at least a Blue Yeti or a Rode Podcaster, or preferably better, just so you have a really nice experience for your live listeners. And also, if you, I said earlier, you can stream video. If you want to stream video, not a bad idea to upgrade your webcam. So there's a lot of Macs that come with built-in webcams, but you can drop a little bit more money, $30 or $50, you know, $60 to get a Logitech webcam. And I went and grabbed a couple of links to those, and I'll put those in the show notes. So depending on your budget, you should just be careful because a lot of these webcams have built-in microphones, and Google Hangouts will probably try to use them for your audio source. So always check your audio input source and preferences before you stream. And as much as possible, make sure to eliminate all interruptions. So if you got kids, don't lock them in the basement, but try to find something else for them to do. Same with pets, other family members. I use a sign. I've talked about that before. I put a sign on my front door just so I don't get interrupted. But I think the same thing goes with everyone else in your house. If you're broadcasting a house or in an office, just put up a sign, let everybody know, hey, I'm going to be on a podcast for the next, you know, 60 minutes, whatever. Just avoid those interruptions. And also, you'll want to use, if you can, to keep your internet solid, because you need a solid connection. Otherwise, you'll experience drops in audio quality and that stuff. So I would suggest, if you can, use a hard line Ethernet wire instead of Wi-Fi. Make sure you turn off all the cloud services, backups, all that stuff. And then if you're at home, if you're going to be podcasting regularly, maybe think about upgrading to the fastest internet speed possible. I did that here, and it's a really, really sad, I think it's 18 megabytes down a second and 3 or 6 up. It's not Google Fiber, but I did it anyways just because, well, I like fast internet. Plus, I knew I was going to be streaming at some point. So if any faster internet ever comes around here, Google, I'm looking at you, then I will be upgrading. All right, let's move on to number 2. Talk with your audience regularly online. So you want to talk with them, but first, where are they? Where is your audience? Are they on Twitter? Are they on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube? Go to those places and talk with them there. So respond to their questions, comment on their posts. Something I've started doing recently, oh, I should bring this up here. Some of you guys might not know. I just got back on Twitter for the first time since 2010. So if you want to find me there, I'm at the podcast dude, of course. But the reason for this was that, one, now that I have a podcast, I didn't really have a good reason to be on Twitter before, other than to do the thing that a lot of people do, which is just share everything they like or they think, which is what I used to do. It wasn't really working, and I'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. But I've got a focus now, and it's, one, I want to engage with the people that are interested in podcasting and my audience, and just give people another way to talk with me. But something I've started doing recently, since I set up my account, when you're listening to this, it'll be 2 weeks ago, I think. But I've been following some of the bigger players in my field. So the guys that talk about podcasting a lot, the guys that have the really big audiences. So I've been following them and then engaging with their audience inside their posts. So somebody will post a question about, you know, podcasters, what are you guys struggling with? And they'll get a ton of replies because they have a really big audience. And I will actually go into that thread and start talking to people there. I will answer questions. I'll provide value. So you can do the same thing, you know, if you're hungry to build an audience, to engage an audience. Go find the people in your niche that have the big audience and get in there and make a name for yourself. And also befriend those big players and talk to them as if they were on your level. And this doesn't mean being like, yo, man, how you doing? What's up? Best buds over here. No, you want to connect with them on a personal level. And hopefully you can develop a relationship based on your common interests. So, but you want to be seen as a peer and not just a fanboy or someone kind of trying to be fake and, you know, get up to them and be like, hey, man, what's up? You want to be friends? Be authentic, be genuine. But if you can develop that friendship, if you can connect with those people and develop that friendship, then their audience will also start to become aware of you and see you as another expert, another person they should follow. So that's just an idea. Wanted to throw that out there at you guys. Something else, answer every single freaking email or message that you get. Even if it's just to say agree or thank you, it's important to acknowledge someone as quickly as possible. If they invest time in you and your show, make sure that you thank them for doing so. And I know some of you, Sean, I'm looking at you right now. You have so many people in your audience engaging with you, sending you thank you messages. You, at some point, you're not going to be able to reply to everybody because you do have to get work done. You got to produce content. You're busy. I get that. So, but when you're just starting out, if you're not completely overwhelmed with emails and messages, then you need to be responding to every person and being really, really appreciative of the time that they're investing in you. Even if they're just saying, hey, that was cool, or thank you, get back to them. All right, number three, make it easy for them. So there are a few additional things you can do to make it easy for your audience to engage with you. I think one of the most important things is having consistency between your podcast name, your website, and your various social media accounts. So for example, I am the podcast dude. I am at thepodcastdude.com. My email address is aaron@thepodcastdude.com. I am the podcast dude on Twitter and on Instagram. And my YouTube channel is the podcast dude. So you want to make it really easy for your audience to find you online. If you haven't set up an email account for your podcast yet or for your website, there's a few ways to do that. I think it's a good idea. I set up mine through Hover because that's where I own the domain. So if you don't know how to do that, there's some great tutorials. I'll include a link in the show notes. Another thing you can do is create a call-in phone line. So this is a number that people can call to leave you voicemails. I'm not a fan of that personally. I mean, I've never done that for another show, but some people like that. Some people still use phones. I think the phone app is still on my iPhone somewhere. Maybe in one of those folders of apps I never use. But you can use Google Voice for this. This is a really easy way to set up a free, you know, unless you hate Google, that's a story for another day. But you can set up a Google Voice number and have people call in and leave you voicemails. Ask them to ask you questions. So make sure that number is in plain sight on your website and wherever else. Okay, Matthew. Yeah. Matthew asked in the chat, would you recommend using your personal number or a ghost number? Definitely a ghost number. But that's kind of the idea of Google Voice. And I'm sure you can get some 800 numbers as well. I didn't do any research into that because Google Voice is really easy to set up. I've done that before. I set up a Google Voice number just to use for Craigslist. So read this number out on your show. At the end of your show, say, hey, this is a number. If you guys want to call in, leave me a voicemail, I'd appreciate it. Make sure they can find it on your website as well. You know, if you want to throw it on your Twitter account, that's cool too. And remind your listeners every episode to send in questions and feedback. Every episode. Another big thing, create content that's tailored for sharing. This is a really, really tricky thing. But there's a great post about viral content by Scott Adams. That's the guy that did Dilbert. I'm a big fan of him. But he wrote a great, great post about what makes content go viral. So I'm going to include a link to that in the show notes, but I'm going to summarize it here. And I'm not suggesting that your goal for everything you create should be for it to go viral. I don't think that that's necessarily the right way to go. But there were some really, really interesting points that he made in that article. So I wanted to mention them right here. So the first one was top of mind. So the topic is tied to recent headlines. So what's been going on in the news lately? And then underneath that, a famous person is involved. So there are a few reasons that we like famous people, but if you're not famous, you can write about someone who is. Fame is a crazy thing, but also a quality minimum, number three, quality minimum. So you have to have good enough execution. You have to meet a minimum quality threshold or no one will want to share your content. So this is just decent writing for a blog post, you know, not a ton of grammatical errors or punctuation, just decent quality for blog post, for video, for audio, but the higher quality, the better. So you also need to have an emotional hook. That's number four. People need to care about the topic in an emotional way. So you want people to feel something, whether it's love, passion, delight, anger, outrage, disgust, some kind of strong emotion. If your content doesn't have a strong emotion tied to it, it probably won't be as widely shared. So the fifth thing, appeal to ego. One of the ways you can do that is by saying something better than your audience could. Because people like it when other people say something that they were thinking, but in a more clear and concise way. It gives them mental clarity and it makes them feel smarter. Therefore, they are more likely to share it because we all want to be associated with smart people. Number six, usefulness. So experts agree that people are more likely to share things that are useful because people love helping other people, especially when there is minimal effort required. You hit a retweet button and you help a bunch of people, that's no effort at all. And it also, it makes us look smart and useful whenever we share something that is helpful to someone else. So that's an appeal to ego. And also your audience. So the more specific the content is tailored to your audience, the more likely they're likely to share it with the other people in that audience. You want people to identify with the content or feel like they know someone who would identify with that content. You want them to say, hey, I recognize that. That's me. He's talking about me there, or he's talking about this friend that I have. Again, really, really interesting article by Scott Adams. I'll include a link in the show notes. Go check that out. Go read that. That guy's got some really interesting opinions. I don't always agree with him, but he's an interesting guy. Some good books too. Dilbert, it's good stuff. Okay, moving on. Another thing you can do is offer incentives for engagement. So you can create coffee mugs, stickers, or t-shirts, and then give them away when a listener calls in or sends you a good question that you use on the show. It's just a nice thank you gesture. It's not cheap though, so just know that you're going to have to invest a little bit of money in that. All right, that's going to be the last thing before I wrap up, but I just want to reiterate that building an audience takes time. And Robert had asked earlier, if you're listening to your audience to focus on topics that provide them value, and you're applying the four keys to building your audience, that is a shout out to Sean West. If you haven't seen his video, Four Keys to Building an Audience, go check that out because it's fantastic. I'll include a link. So he says, but if you're applying the four keys to building your audience, but you're seeing a steady decline in page views for a blog or downloads for a podcast, what are some ideas for turning things around? Now, I talked a little bit about this earlier, and I hope some of the things I've shared today will help you, Robert. But like I said, I would take a look at where your audience is spending most of their time. So are they on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube? That's where you need to be. You need to be there listening to them and talking with them. So building an audience and creating a community is a two-way street. You can't just put something out there and wait for people to send you praise. You have to invest time in them too. And also, are you sharing personal stories? There's kind of a fine line you got to walk here. You should be open and vulnerable, but that doesn't mean you have to share every little detail about your life. I would say share details as they become relevant. Share them if they will be useful to your audience in any way. This is a mistake I see a lot of people making. they make their content too business professional and really dry. It's very stale. Doesn't have a lot of life. Your podcast and your content, it should be a little bit raw. It should feel real. I think it'll help if you imagine your audience as people you'd be friends with. So open up to them. Be honest about the way that you feel and the stuff that you're going through. Listen to their struggles and then share yours. And don't get discouraged if your audience builds really, really slowly. Sean always says, show up every day for 2 years. In this case, I think it's maybe more like show up every week for 2 years if you're podcasting weekly. But really, you know, scratch that. I think he's right. I think show up every day and talk to people. Show up every day and write. Show up every day and prepare for your next episode. Show up every day and listen to what people are saying. Talk to them, answer their questions, get to know them. Because you have to think about this in terms of the long game. Are you creating content that people will be able to listen to and enjoy years from now? Not just like next week, next month, years. And I think that's the key to growing an audience, is creating content that people can find and discover while you sleep. Also, I want to mention, if you're creating content that is focused around like the latest news, you're going to have a much harder time because there are likely so many other people who are already covering the same news, especially in tech. So if you're wondering why your tech news podcast isn't getting traction, it's really because there are podcasters out there who have been doing it better and longer than you have. And many of them are already internet famous for something else they did, probably a blog. And I'm not saying it's impossible to build an audience around a news-related podcast, but it's definitely an uphill climb. And I think it's one that defeats many people. But just know that so many people haven't discovered podcasts yet. But the number of people listening has been steadily rising over the past few years. So if you get started now and you produce a bunch of great content, you'll be in a great position in a couple of years. When people find a show that they like, they'll often go back to the beginning and binge listen to the whole catalog, which, as I'm thinking about that right now, makes me feel a little bit nervous. But it's okay. I'm doing the best I can. I'm going to get better as I go. And it's really fun to go back and listen to something or look at something you created a year or two ago and see how far you've come. So don't focus on the listeners you have now. Don't focus on those numbers. But think about creating for all the people who may find your show in the future. And don't be afraid to go out there and talk to people and share your show with people if you think they'd find it valuable. All right, that's the show for today, guys. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for listening. I really, really appreciate it. You can check out previous episodes of this show at thepodcastdude.com. There's a lot of great stuff over there. I've got, as of this recording, I have 10 podcast episodes, 10 whole podcast episodes. It's really exciting for me. I'm really proud of all of them. Put a lot of hard work into it. They're not perfect, but that's okay. They're raw. That's really me trying my best. If you guys could head over to thepodcastdude.com/iTunes and leave me a review, I'd greatly appreciate it. That makes me really, really happy, and I like to know what you guys think. And lastly, if you've been enjoying the show so far, the best way to support me is to join the Sean West community. And the Sean West community is a group of like-minded people who share values and are eager to encourage and help one another. So that's how we do this show. I've said before, we don't do sponsors because we really care about your experience and we want to provide uninterrupted value. But I love the community because it gives me a place to go and talk to people and engage with people. And it's such a great personal experience, and there's so many awesome people there. Cannot recommend it enough. So go check that out, seanwest.com/community. I stream live every week, so you can tune in Mondays at 10:30 a.m. Central Time. We've also got a chat app. So Mac and iOS, you can open it up. You can talk to people. Super, super fun. Streaming shows. This is crazy. We have show streaming from other members, Sean, Ben. There's a few others on the way. Every single day, Monday through Friday. Except every 7 weeks, we take a sabbatical week, but that's for recharging. That's a cool thing too. All right. Actually, before I go, just real quick, wanted to read you guys an iTunes review because there's a guy who's nice enough to leave me an iTunes review. So I want to show my appreciation for him. And this is, the title is Why Didn't Aaron Launch This Sooner or Earlier, rather. It's by Glenn Leibowitz. And he says, I've been producing podcasts for 3.5 years now, and I wish Aaron was around when I was just starting out and trying to find my way around in the dark. Aaron is a pro and knows this topic cold. Cold, ice cold. Just to give an example of how useful his advice is, I was able to go out and buy a new mixer yesterday and sound semi-intelligent. This podcast is going places. Definitely worth subscribing if you haven't already. Glenn, thanks so much, man. So thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, Glenn Leibowitz. Sean Duran, he asked, if my podcast audience doesn't seem to be giving much feedback, even if we are requesting it, how do I spur some conversation? That is a hard one. I think a lot of people are starting to do the whole, like, hey, please give me feedback more often. And I'm not going to say it's a bad thing, but I think many, many audiences, many listeners, many readers are just kind of so used to it. I think it starts to become kind of impersonal. So I think this is where getting a little bit more personal with your audience can help, but also maybe engaging with them a little bit more one-on-one. And that's, you know, that's really time consuming, but I can't remember where I read it or where I heard it, but I remember, maybe it was Amanda Palmer's book. What is it called? The Art of Not Something About Asking. Anyways, Amanda Palmer book, Google that. She said something to the effect of, my audience was built one, you know, one person, one hug, one handshake, one thank you at a time over, you know, 2 decades, or I don't know how long she's been doing it. But the idea is that it is, I think the more personal you can make something, the more people will respond to it. I really like just talking to people one-on-one on Twitter. So they say, hey, I'm struggling with this. And if I've already created content, then I'll link it to them and say, hey, I made this for you. Or I'll ask them another question, you know, what about this? Or have you tried this yet? And over time, you know, things just happen. I didn't have a show 2 years ago, but I had no kind of audience 2 years ago. And then I met Sean, and then we started doing a podcast, and we just, you know, put ourselves out there. People engaged with it, started talking, started asking questions. He responded. He was paying attention. You know, good job, Sean. He started talking about those things. He started, you know, mentioning people on the show, doing all the things I talked about in this show. And I think it snowballs. People need and love being a part of a community. So you really have to focus on building that sense of community. And Sean, in your case, I think, excuse me, Sean Duran, not Sean McCabe. But I think maybe ask yourself if you have defined your community. Because I think that's something Sean McCabe has done really, really well, is define what kind of people he wants in his community or what his values are. And if your values align with mine, then let's be friends. That's kind of an abbreviated way to say it, but yeah. So I would check out that, you know, do you know who your show is for first? Could you explain that? It's somebody who likes this, you know, somebody in this age range. And, you know, and then just try to keep them in mind when you're creating content. That's what I got for that. All right, guys. I think that's going to do it for today. Thank you, Glenn Leibowitz. Thank you, everybody. All right, I'm going to go get this edited, get the other shows done. I'll talk to you guys next week. Let me know if you have any other questions. I'll be around. Bye-bye.